All right, gals and pals, game on. It's time for the Sports Gal Pal Podcast, where we help gals and their pals come together over sports. Don't hate the game, love the game.
Or at least find out why he loves it so much.
Now your host, the Sports Gal Pal herself, Ramona Rice.
Well, hey there, Gal Pal Nation. Welcome to another episode of the Sports Gal Pal Podcast, where I help you understand why sports fans scream at the TV during games and seem to either enjoy it or not. It all depends on how, you know, their teams end up. I don't know. It's just one of those weird things. Anyway, I'm your host, Ramona Rice. You can connect with me on Twitter at Sports Gal Pal, and of course on sportsgalpal.com. And gals and pals, I'm super excited to have my guest on tonight. He is very interesting fella. I actually met him by accident because I became commissioner of the Podcast Movement 2016 League, and he was kind of a last minute audition. He's like, I want to play. And I'm like, I had one more spot, and he grabbed it. And it's Sean Garmer. And you guys have heard him before. He was on my Podcast Movement. I feel really bad, Sean. I owe you a total apology because like you were on that episode and you were great. And I didn't even talk about you at all. Like I didn't introduce you because I was just so wanting to get that episode out. So I feel really bad about that. I do, but welcome to the show.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and it's totally okay that happens.
It is not totally okay. It's because you're the only one that actually gave like practical advice, whereas the rest of us were like, why are they picking two kickers? We're going to totally get into that draft, because that was one of the craziest drafts I've ever been involved in. Agreed?
Yes. I don't think I've ever seen two kickers go in a row like that with the same person.
Yeah, and I got a voice message from that person. I'm worried she's heard our episode, and she's upset, but oh well. No, there's no upset. If you take two kickers in, what was it, the fourth and fifth round? You deserve mockery.
Yeah, there's no better. There's no other way to put that.
No other way to do that. This is how you learn, Gal Pal Nation. So here's the advice. You're going to hear this episode way after you should be drafting for fantasy. But in the future, just don't even worry about kickers until the very end. And just grab whoever. It doesn't matter. Anyway. But Sean, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you were able to make it.
Well, again, I'm happy to be here and always talking, doing something with sports. So
that's awesome. Yeah. So I like to start all my interviews with the same question. How'd you get into sports?
Man, I am actually doing a fantasy draft like right this second. So sometimes if I pause, it's because I'm having to make a pick. But yeah, just, you know, from being a kid, either I had a family that was into soccer, being half Venezuelan, or the other family that was into football, and I was watching that from pretty much as long as I can remember. And I was always a big video game person, so like from the age of like 4, I wanted to be a broadcaster and stuff like that. You know, like I'd play the Madden games and broadcast to myself, and my dad would walk in and be like, "What the hell are you doing?" I'm like, "Well, I'm practicing, you know." So, I was born in Arkansas, so my college team is the Razorbacks, and then I lived in the Dallas-Fort Worth area before I moved to Miami about 4 years ago for like 20 years, so I'm Dallas everything. So I know you're an Eagles fan. I know that goes against you, but, you know, it's all right.
I will get over it. I'm okay. Because the chances of your team and my team doing anything significant this season are pretty slim. Yeah, because you don't have a quarterback. Surprise, says no one. And but good luck with that really fancy rookie running back. Yay, because, you know, rookies always do so well, you know, because they're so trustworthy. Yay.
Well, hey, you know, they wanted to start Carson Wentz where you live instead of guy that at least has been a backup for a little bit. So
this is true. This is true. This is true. And yeah, it's sad, really, Sean, to be a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I mean, I can go into why there's sadness, but really, I blame Chip Kelly for all my woes this year. After that, I'll find somebody else. But this year, it's Chip Kelly's fault. Last year, it's Chip Kelly's fault. I just like to blame Chip Kelly. Yes, no, and I saw that the whole Dallas thing, and I'm like, at least you have an excuse because you live there. Unlike, because I live in an area that's actually 3 hours away from Washington, D.C., so I have a lot of Redskin fans, but I live in a high military area, so there are Dallas Cowboy fans just randomly that have never even been to Dallas. Like, I've been to Dallas. I was there last year for Podcast Movement, and it was fantastic. Fort Worth is a great city. Everyone should go. So at least you have an excuse as to why. And you like like, and I appreciate the fact that, number one, you are Arkansas Razorbacks for all college sports. You're not doing this whole, like, I like this team for football and this team for basketball. Same thing with your city. So, well done.
Yeah, I've always been one of those, like, you just go all in or you don't. You know, I don't believe in that whole, let me just pick and choose which sport of college I'm going to be a fan of just for this team. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it's like UNC fans, basketball fans. You know, but I'm a UNC basketball fan, but I really like Ohio State football. Like, that doesn't work.
Just admit that you're a bandwagoner.
Yes. Yes. You know, and I would. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. So, no, I'm glad someone else agrees with me. It really is frustrating for me. I mean, I get the fan experience is supposed to be, you know, really individualized and you should like who you like. But I'm like, if you're from a major metropolitan area that has sports teams, then you should like those sports teams. Because if you're not, I'll give you an example. I'm going to be on a podcast tomorrow that one of the girls is a New England Patriots fan, but she was from Pittsburgh. What happened?
Yeah, really?
I mean, seriously, you can find Pittsburgh fans, like, by, you can't help but find Pittsburgh fans anywhere. Like, so,
I mean, the Steelers are almost America's team at this point with how much their fans travel and everything. It's amazing to me, some people that give up wanting to be Steelers fans.
Yeah, no. Oh, Sean, I'm so glad you brought that up. Last year, I had a kid on the show. He's actually my co-host on my other podcast, We Should Not Be Friends. His name is Tim. And he gave up being a Pittsburgh Steelers fan because he was dating a girl who was an Atlanta Falcons fan. Now, he's from Atlanta, but his entire family's from, this is before Atlanta had a team, because, you know, it was an expansion team. And so they were all Pittsburgh fans. And that happens a lot. That's why a lot of times why there are so many Steelers fans is because they all left when the steel yard shut down and they went all over the place. And so he was one of those families. But he gave up, what was it, 6 Super Bowl rings for the Atlanta Falcons for a woman he is no longer dating.
Yeah, sports fandom goes beyond your significant other.
That's,
you know?
It should. Now, I love the story you put on here. And normally I don't talk about these things. Normally I say, you know, these are like the 7 questions every sports fan should be able to answer. I love this story you put on there, your favorite sports memory, that you put Dallas Mavericks winning the NBA championship in 2011. And already, because you're a Dallas Mavericks fan, that should be a great memory. But you go, it's extra sweet for me because you were in Miami, Florida, visiting family for the entire NBA Finals series in 2006 when the Mavericks lost to the Heat and they wouldn't let you live it down. And then they got the revenge 5 years later. So can you tell me a little about that?
Yeah, you know, I lived in Texas with my mom until like about 2002. And then they went and almost the whole family went to Miami, where almost all of my Venezuelan side of the family lives. And so I stayed with my dad in Texas. And so everybody sort of became Heat fans and everything else fans over there. For living there that long. So I just was over there visiting, and it happened to be the finals, Dallas and the Heat, and of course all the Miami side of the family. That those first two games, I was feeling good. I was, you know, we were winning, and then all of a sudden that big change happens in the series, and then they don't win another game. And I even had my grandpa come from another part of Miami, which is about like 15 minutes away, to drop the newspaper at the door that said Miami wins, just to, you know, bust balls. So I was the first one to call everybody when we got the revenge 5 years later. It was really nice.
See, I wouldn't even call. I would have just been like, no, nah, I would have called. I'm not even gonna lie. I would have called. That's a good story. That means your family loves you, though, if they're willing to be that mean to you. You don't think?
No, it's true, though. It's true.
I mean, that's what you do, though. You know, like my sister, she's a Dallas Cowboys fan. So my entire family has the entire NFC East covered. My mom married a Redskin fan. My dad is a Giants fan. I'm an Eagles fan. Then my sister is a Cowboys fan. So you can imagine how much fun that is.
That's like an NFC East war room going on there.
Pretty much. Yeah. Like I just got a good friend of mine. Her daughter is one of the Philadelphia Eagles dancers this year. So I just got free Redskin Eagles tickets. And I'm like, who the heck do I bring? Because no one else is an Eagles fan that I really know that I can bring to this game. I'm like, oh, no. What am I going to do?
You don't have any fans just like to go because it's football?
The problem is, I love being a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I'm proud of it. But there's a certain kind of stigma to the Philadelphia Eagle fan. You know, we did Boo Santa. You know, we throw things.
Yeah.
We're not the nicest fan. So it's not a fun place to go and say, hey, let me just go for the sake of football. There is like one person, but it's in December when this game is. And he is super busy in December. So I'm kind of going, he's not going to do it. Like when my husband was alive, he would have been all about it. He would have been like, let's just go. But, you know, that's not an option. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Like, you know, and normally my sister, like she comes with me to University of Virginia games. You know, that's love right there to sit through that. So, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do, Sean.
I bet somebody will decide it right there at the last minute and go, I'll go.
Yeah, hopefully. I'll suffer for free football. Free Redskin and Eagles football. Yes, yes. And I don't really want to bring a Redskin fan because they might die. Philadelphia will stab someone. I know this.
Just tell them, you know, to secretly cheer for their team.
Yeah, that doesn't happen in Redskins. Come on. Really, Sean? Really, Sean? You've been like a fan of Dallas Cowboys forever. The Redskins.
Come on.
Fans...
We're talking about the Dallas Cowboys here. That it, when you go to the stadium, it's almost like a wine and cheese crowd happening. So
that's because it's expensive now. I've been. So when I went to Podcast Movie last year, a bunch of us went to see a Rangers game. And of course, that's right next to AT&T Park. That stadium is the biggest thing I've ever seen in my life.
It is amazing. I was there for the first time. I mean, my dad has season tickets to the Cowboys since 1994.
Yeah.
So, the first game I ever went to that I remember going to was the conference championship game where the Cowboys beat the Packers and they won the Super Bowl and the last time they ever did anything worthwhile. And so, I was at the actual first game that was at AT&T Stadium, and I just remember walking in there and just, oh my God, it's amazing. It's insane how huge it is, and then having tickets at the 50-yard line where that TV is right in your face, it is so hard to watch what's going on below you when you got this huge screen right in front of your face, you know?
Is it really? I mean, because it's, you know, it's the whole building's massive. It's almost obscene.
Yes. You certainly can get lost in there. And, I don't know about the party pass people. I don't know if I could stand the whole 3.5 hours, 4 hours that some of these people do. But, I mean, it's certainly an event that you should go to. I went there for the WrestleMania show as well this past April. And that was also just an event. It being something different, not being football. And you can really see how huge the stadium is when they take away some of the stuff that's there for football. It's really cool.
Yeah, and you host several podcasts. One, your original is Wrestling to the Max. So is it a podcast that where you're talking about like professional wrestling?
Yeah. I've been a professional wrestler before. I've done everything I've not been in like what you see on TV, but in the lower leagues or whatever before I got hurt and I had to go to college. So my dad was like, you know, my dad's a doctor, so he gave me this option. He's like, well, you can keep doing your wrestling thing, or you can go to college. So I'm going to give you one or the other. So I had to stop doing the wrestling thing and go to college. And so I kind of just picked up podcasting about it about 4 years ago. And, yeah, we just talk about everything that goes on in professional wrestling, whether it's WWE or just stuff that probably most people listening to your podcast don't even know exists. Because it's not mainstream, you know.
See, I find wrestling podcasters very interesting because that is a true passion. Like, you have to really love. Like, when I first met my husband, he was really into WWE. And that was back when, like, Brock Lesnar was, like, first on the scene. And I saw Brock Lesnar, like, challenging someone. I forget who. Apparently, it was a big deal. You know, you can tell how interested I was in this. We made signs for, like, this guy named Booker T. Like, we were, like, 5 rows back. It's really entertaining if you go live. You should do it once, just to go.
Yeah, you should. I would recommend not going to the TV shows because you'll get the harder core fans, and those sort of sometimes ruin it for people. Just kind of being obnoxious and trying to do the opposite of what you're supposed to do with the storylines, whatever. But if you go to these live events, which is the first one I ever went to with my dad and a friend of mine and whatever, he had to go to make sure it was okay for me to go later on by myself. He was one of those parents, very protective in those kind of situations. So he was making fun of it the whole time, you know. But at the end of the day, he's like, man, you know, I was making fun of it, but I enjoyed myself. So if a guy that's a total non-fan like him, if you're even remotely interested, I think you should definitely go. And especially to those live events, the tickets are really cheap.
Oh, you're talking about the smaller scale ones, not the big ones and like the big arenas? Yeah.
Yeah, the TV ones are, I mean, you can go for like $50 or $60 if you don't care where you sit. Now, if you want to sit on the floor or something, you might overpay for no reason.
No, we sat on the floor. It was pretty cool. Because we were right next to the entrance, so we got to see like all the pyre, you know, fire shoots up, and there's steam, and there's songs, and people are chanting. I mean, it's very cool. It's like, you know, like part of the, my favorite parts of the game, it is that opening scene, you know, where the crowd's getting pumped up, and they're singing the national anthem, and they're introducing the players, and they've got that entrance, you know, like if you think about like the Bulls entrance is one of the best ones in all of sports, you know, it just is so good, and it's just one of those things where you're like pumped up, and you're like, yeah, you know. Like with professional wrestling, what I do remember is that literally you get that every 15 minutes.
Well, yeah, because you have a new person coming out for a match or something. So you get that crowd amped up again, and that initial, they call it pop, of the wrestler coming out is that cool feeling that you get of, you get to see who's more popular and who's not and everything. So it's, again, really, really fun. And I agree with you, like that whole, they started, a lot of teams started doing the whole, oh, we're going to come out as a team thing, so you kind of don't get that as much anymore. But I remember for like the Cowboys where they would introduce either the offense or the defense for that week. It was always fun getting to do the, oh, they'll call the names and you get to cheer for this person and that person and all the pyro going off and everything. Always, always a fun part.
Yeah, I was just at, I graduated from the University of Virginia. I was just at the opening game this past weekend. And we have a new coach, Bronco Mendenhall, who was at BYU. And now he's come to Virginia. And we lost the game. It was really embarrassing because we lost to, like, Richmond, which is, like, you know, D2. It's just really bad. But aside the point, he changed the entrance. Like, we used to run out to, like, Thunderstruck by AC/DC, and that went away. And I'm like, I just didn't get what they were doing. And he sent a video and explained it. And I'm watching this going, I don't feel pumped up. I mean, but I had other things I was talking thinking about during that opening game just for a lot of reasons, but I'm just like, I feel like that whole part of it is the whole fan experience, like, you know, you and especially I wonder, and because I've been to like Texas Rangers, even like some of the stuff they do, you know, in the game, you know, they shoot up that gold dust when there was a home run and all kinds of stuff, and it's very interesting how each team chooses to kind of introduce themselves and set the tone for hopefully the game.
Yeah, like, you know, I went to Heat game and they did that Kanye West and Jay-Z song for a long time during their championship runs. And it was always different than from how the Cowboys, or not the Cowboys, the Mavericks would do it with, like, it either be something country or something rock music. And it's just, like you said, it's so fun sometimes just to go to a different game, even if you're not a fan of that team, just to see how they do their pomp and circumstance and how the fans relate to that team.
Now, since you're, you know, I found when I have podcasters on or sports fans in general, they typically only like professional sports or college sports, but you like both. Do you find that the fan, and we'll put in the wrestling too, do you find that the fandom of college is different than fandom for professional?
Oh yeah. I think you certainly get a different kind of fan because, you know, for college, obviously, if you, I mean, I went to University of North Texas, so much lower scale team than saying going to the University of Texas. But you still get like the fans that get up at like 5 a.m. and go tailgating, and they're doing crazy stuff all day. And I don't think you get as much. The tailgating atmosphere obviously came from that college atmosphere, and then it kind of lent itself over to the professional. But I still think you don't get as hardcore of that in the professional that you do in the college. I think it's a much more, you know, streamlined, much more modernized. I think when you get into the more adults doing that stuff, but you still get the crazy guys in professional. I think in college you get the college kids that paint their bodies and all this stuff. I mean, I think you definitely get a more rabid fandom with them, and wrestling fans is just, that's a whole nother world when you get into that, because you get wrestling fans have this, there's this distinct difference between the fans that are on the internet and then the fans that are just the kids and the moms and everybody else that goes. And it's, there's such a difference sometimes that they clash. And so WWE tends to have like two different fans. So depending on where you are in the country, you might get people that go for everybody that you're not supposed to. And then you go to them like Green Bay, Wisconsin, and you got all the like the stuff you're supposed to be doing. And, you know, like it's weird for me because I wish I could go to a stadium like for Miami. It's even worse than Dallas, where you get fans that are very bandwagon-y and they don't care about the team. And unless they're like super winning, then all of a sudden you see all the Dolphins jerseys come out. But if the Dolphins are doing what they normally do, people act like the Dolphins don't exist. So,
well, I mean, do you blame them?
No. But I mean,
of course, the Cowboys are worse than the Dolphins right now, and you see their crap everywhere. Sorry, Eagles fan.
I still think you don't get the people that do that as much, and at least for the Cowboys, you don't. Now, for like the Rangers and other sports that aren't as popular, when they're not winning, people don't care as much. But for the Cowboys, so that's a football town, you know, football state. It's much different thing. I definitely think though college and pro is much different fandoms.
I agree. I just feel like, again, because I'm one of the people that, I mean, I like pro, but I love my college. Now, I went to my college, but I love it. Like, you know, you have to love something to invest the money and time that I do for season tickets to watch them lose to Richmond. That is love.
Yeah. Certainly.
Am I wrong? That's when you love something very much, like a child, and you're like, okay. So, yeah. No, I mean, it's difficult. And I find it's interesting when I talk to podcasters in sports, particularly, it's a very interesting perspective when you really think about the fan perception and when you think about your own fandom. Because now that you're running, what, 3 podcasts, plus you guys are launching a new website, you know, what... For me, I wonder about you. Did it change your fandom at all when you started becoming more of a journalist for it rather than just being a fan?
Yeah, I mean, it does change it a bit because you catch yourself sometimes going, like for me, it's I think for the Cowboys, I never lose that. And for the Mavericks, I don't either. For me, it's more wrestling where I become the journalist, and I sometimes it takes a lot for me to lose that journalist person and become the fan again, just because I've witnessed so much different stuff and whatever. But with the actual, like, you know, real, quote unquote, real sports, I think I never lose it. Like, just from going, because until I moved here, I went to the games every week that they were at home. So I was always getting to cheer the team on. And even here, when I'm sitting there, I'm also taking notes because I have to talk about this game on the podcast in a couple of days. I'm sitting there yelling at the TV like, damn it, why did you just hold? It cost us 10 yards. Like, you know, so it's it definitely does change you because you have to be professional, or at least it depends on how you do your podcast. Obviously, there's fans that just totally are fans when they're on the podcast, and that's fine too. You know, you have your way of doing what you want to do. But to have to like rein that in and go, and I have my co-host is also a Cowboys fan, and I have to kind of like tell him like, man, it's going to be really hard not to just want to rail on the team right now, but we got to try to be objective and also kind of look at the pros and cons of what happened and try to assess things. So definitely, I think anybody that says it doesn't change you, I don't know what you're doing, but definitely I think if you kind of do any kind of critical analysis on anything, it changes your mindset a little bit.
I feel like for myself, it's not that I'm definitely a homer with my teams. Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I've already made fun of the Cowboys several times on the episode. I mean, that's not being unbiased. That's being a fan. And just because you're on. But for me, at least puts the perception, you know, I used to, particularly with Virginia, when they lose, like typically, Sean, when I, like, especially this Richmond game, normally, it would have bugged the crap out of me. I would have been like, I mean, I still would be talking about it. Now, we're taping this episode, like, this episode right after the game happened. But it was also the first game after my husband died that I went to without him. And for me, I was so focused on that, that I really, you know, like, yeah, am I upset they lost? Sure. Am I concerned that, you know, this was a new era of football and we lack any kind of defense whatsoever? Absolutely. But in the scheme of things, it's a game. You know, in the scheme of things, and I don't know if that's because of what I've gone through this year or because, you know, I'm starting to with the podcast and kind of seeing, you know, when I talk to fans about sports, it you just kind of remember that this is supposed to be fun and a hobby. And, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't really affect your life directly, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, there's times where even us that we don't have like this huge fan base or whatever. We have a sort of loyal fan base that can go up and down depending on the week or whatever and depending on which podcast it is and whatever. And there's times where I have to catch myself and I go, well, you know, as much as I love doing this, as much as we have people that sort of are expecting this to be there, you do have to remember that there are other important things in life, whether it's sports, where sometimes I think people go way too crazy with it, and you sort of sometimes put it above other things. Same thing can happen with podcasts, same thing can happen with any other hobby. You have to sort of remember and be grounded. I'm having to think about this, doing the preparation stuff for the website right now. I'm having to sit there and go, man, this is a lot of work. I've also got to remember that I've got other things, job and kids, or, you know, wife and kid and family, and like can't just totally get sucked into this and not devote time to them either, because, you know, that has larger effects than not writing a post on a website that day.
Speaking of your podcast, Sean, if the members of Galpa Nation want to check out your shows, where should they go?
If you want to check out my shows, the easiest thing to do is just go subscribe to a network called the W2M Network. It's on pretty much anything that there is podcasts, like iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, wherever there's podcasts, literally it's there. That has all the podcasts there in one. But I understand there's people that go, man, I don't want like 20 podcasts downloading it in my thing and then having to search through and find the one that I actually want to listen to. So whether it's the Football of the Max, where we talk about the NFL and college, previewing what's happening that week and then reviewing what's happening the week that just happened, whether it's the fantasy football one that I'm not a part of, but two good friends of mine that do a great job are, or the wrestling one or the video games one or anything else, they're all there separately. So, you know, if you download the W2 Network and you find one that you like, you can just go search for it separately and just download that one. And you can also delete the whole thing if you care not to have that entire network there for you. But, yeah.
Well, that's awesome, Sean. And again, you can check out all the links to Sean's the network and the shows at sportsgalpal.com. There you'll also get his the 7 questions every sports fan needs to know. And, Sean, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Gal Pal podcast. And be sure to check out sportsgalpal.com.